And we are here. This is one of your hosts, Brandon Garcia. I'm joined today with our guest host, Anusha Monturo.
Hey, guys.
Hi. As well as two of the founders of Houston, Texas COVID Sitters, we have Madhushri Zope and Anshal Tadani. How are you guys today?
Great. How are you?
Doing great. As good as one can be stuck in a closet.
I understand.
So today we're going to be talking about this wonderful organization you guys have started here, helping out, from what I understand, healthcare professionals and all kinds of people throughout the Houston community. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are looking to serve every person who works in a clinic or hospital setting. And some of our branches also go beyond that.
That's so awesome. I just can't explain how excited I am to hear you guys talk about this. I think it's an amazing thing that y'all are doing. But before we get into that, I was wondering if everyone would be able to give an opportunity to maybe introduce themselves, talk a little bit about maybe their background and what inspired y'all to get involved in this way. So let's go ahead and start with Anusha.
Yeah. Hey, guys. My name is Anusha. I'm a third-year medical student at Baylor College of Medicine. And I'm here to help kind of facilitate our understanding of this awesome organization today.
Thank you. And Madhushri?
Hi, this is Madhushri. Also a third-year medical student at Baylor. So Anusha is one of my wonderful classmates, and she's also part of our COVID Sitters admin team. And I initially heard about COVID Sitters through Minnesota, which is kind of how all of this started, but I guess we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay. And Anshal?
Hey, I'm Anshal. I'm a first-year medical student at Baylor College of Medicine, so I'm very grateful to have wonderful third years around me to help shepherd me through this process. COVID Sitters, I originally started it with the help of Madhushri and my team, I think that mostly because looking for a way to really lend a hand with all that's going on, but I'm sure we'll get into more of that as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you guys for taking the time to sit down and chat with us today. I guess without further ado, Anusha, take it away. Let's hear what they've got to say.
Yeah, for sure. So today we're going to kind of focus on how you even kind of started this awesome community service initiative. So we'll kind of start with some info about that. So how did you come up with this idea to start COVID Sitters in the first place?
So we initially started off as just an Excel sheet, which Anshal started. I think she can talk a little bit more about how she got the idea to start the spreadsheet, and we'll go from there.
Honestly, it was through listening to, watching people talk on Twitter, mostly our teachers and our professors at Baylor, speaking about some of the challenges that they were facing while having to work so hard during this particular and very strange time that we're in. And I was also watching some peers from around the country lend a hand in various ways. And the Excel sheet was simply a way of perhaps gathering resources so that residents and doctors could look to it and perhaps reach out to students that way. It was supposed to be something that was very simple and somewhat quick.
That's awesome. So this Excel spreadsheet, is that how you kind of went about reaching out to volunteers from Baylor College of Medicine? And were there any other schools or places that you reached out to for volunteers?
In its very early stages, it was just simply something that was sent out through GroupMe's and reached our peers that way. And it was quite popular in its first very few days. A lot of our classmates and our peers were excited to join, but it was somewhat limited to Baylor because it was quite ad hoc. It was more ad hoc than what we have, and nothing was really streamlined.
Yeah, and I think going off of that, there was always this like initial sentiment of at least the medical student community within Baylor wanting to help out our mentors and faculty who were working very hard on the front lines of this pandemic, which is kind of where the idea for the spreadsheet came along. And then I wanted to kind of generalize this sentiment that students were having all across the country towards the greater Houston community, which is why we kind of upgraded our platform to the website that we have today.
That's awesome. Hey, quick question. I forgot we should ask this, but what do you guys actually do? I know it's called COVID Sitters. So do you do babysitting? Like, what is it that y'all do?
We can walk through the evolution.
Oh, yeah. This evolved over time.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so what'd you start with?
So initially, it was just household support, which included everything from, like, childcare services to pet sitting and errands, like pharmacy runs, grocery runs, meal runs, things like that. And I think that's initially what the spreadsheet was based off of as well. Is that right, Achul?
Yeah. So it was intended just to be a place where providers could come and look for help for mostly like their children was the initial thought that I had.
Mm. And what did it evolve to?
Since that initial thought, we've had a lot of classmates and colleagues from institutions across the Texas Medical Center want to join in on the effort. And each of them have brought their own ideas as to how to grow our organization to like address different needs within the Houston community. So I guess specifically speaking, we've added our K-12 online tutoring branch, which Anusha actually co-founded. She's kind of been the lead for that that service arm, and she's done a phenomenal job of kind of bringing together the K-12 community throughout Houston and trying to help them with the online transition to school that they're seeing. And then a third branch that we recently started with another classmate through Baylor College of Medicine was the eCards for Seniors program. And this one was mainly born out of the concern that senior citizens who are currently living in assisted living facilities or nursing homes have been increasingly impacted by the quarantining and social distancing, as they can't have as many volunteers and like contacts with the outside world as they're normally used to. So one of our wonderful classmates decided to start sending e-cards to residents living throughout the nursing homes of Houston. So that's also something that's taken off in recent days.
Wow.
For sure. And I think we'll probably definitely hear more about that in our next episode as well. So thank you for that awesome kind of overview, but stay tuned for more details.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Like, I was excited before. Now I'm just like, this is awesome. Like, I mean, honestly, hats off to you guys for this amazing work that y'all started, and it's branched out into something huge and amazing.
Yeah, we didn't anticipate that it was going to be so interdisciplinary and involved, but it's really been humbling to see everyone come together with like the same mission in mind.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's jump into figuring out like how you reached out to other volunteers from different schools and how having volunteers from different schools kind of helped you spread the initiative even further.
So when I was initially forming the, I guess, admin team for our group, I reached out to Achul because she was the person who had set up the spreadsheet, and we kind of collaborated from there. And I guess being an MS3, I had a lot of contacts throughout between like preclinical and clinical years and various other organizations that I've been involved in. So I had like networks with the other schools in the area. And going into it, the idea, of course, was to kind of spread this throughout the city of Houston. And with that in mind, I kind of, like, we both recognized the need for a diverse volunteer base. And then based off of that, we started recruiting, like, PA students into our admin team, as well as dental students, and then students from the School of Public Health at UT. So each of them kind of brought their own networks into this, which is how we were able to quickly spread the word between all these different communities.
And it was really quite special to see how excited everybody was to be involved and to contribute to this particular project. And they sort of brought their own energy and their own ideas to what we were doing. And so it really just felt like the whole of our community was coming together to help make this happen.
Yeah. What institutions, other institutions are involved? Like, what is the scope of this when you say that we've got a widespread community help?
So in terms of our volunteer base, it is quite wide. I mean, everything from UH Law School to some McGovern students to Rice PhD students. We, in fact, also have a few volunteers who actually don't go to school in Houston, but I'd imagine are from the area and have returned because of the situation that we are now facing and who are looking to volunteer in their home communities. And that has also been really special to see.
Wow.
That's awesome. So you guys did a lot of work to spread the word and gather volunteers from all over the Houston area. That's so cool to hear. How did you guys go about spreading the word to those in need?
This is where I think that social media and some of our established networks as classes and as schools came in hand. So once we were able to build an admin team that was fairly diverse, and I lucky enough to have some upperclassmen who Madhushri helping me and helping us out, and had their own contacts, that we were able to by social media and word of mouth and through emails, really just have it be dispersed. And also, I think what helped was when people heard about what we were doing, they were very excited and supportive, and they too did their bit to help us spread the word as well. So it was sort of this little bit of a wildfire effect through the community that we're trying to serve.
Yeah, and to complement what Achila was saying, a lot of it was also based off of just cold emailing admin and faculty and residents in the different hospitals and healthcare systems throughout Houston. They were just very receptive to our platform, and a lot of them were like, yeah, we'll send this to, you know, our higher-ups, and we'll put it in our newsletters and disseminate it to the entire hospital system. So that was very kind of them to do and very special for us to be a part of.
And in that sort of same line, I think that we were lucky enough to receive some local media attention very early on, fairly early on in our endeavors. And so I think that was also quite instrumental in helping us reach some wider community areas in Houston.
Yeah, I think Anusha said something like you guys have been on TV, you've interviewed with like 3 or 4 different TV stations. Is that true?
Yeah. We've been on, I believe, local and national news outlets at this point. And it's just been very interesting to see how our platform has spread kind of outside of the borders of Houston. And Anusha can talk a little bit more about this in the next episode. But we're definitely also seeing need from like different states, which we're trying to work on addressing at the moment. So the media has definitely been helpful in terms of making people aware that we're out here and, you know, trying to help.
Right. And y'all have obviously reached the pinnacle with being on the Resonance podcast. So I'm really glad.
We are very lucky.
Yeah. Right. Forget CNN. The Resonance is where it's at. Just kidding. I don't know. But that is, I mean, wow, that is to see this blow up. And like, how long have y'all been doing this? Because I think I remember seeing an Excel file like March, maybe.
Yeah, so the Excel file went up about the second week of March, I would say, between the first and second week of March. And then it wasn't until March 23rd that we were able to get the website up. And so it's been, I think, I'm trying to do math in my head right now, 2-ish, 3-ish months.
And how many volunteers do you have?
So right now we're working with upwards of 180 volunteers, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with nonprofits and stuff in the past. That was a big part of my undergrad. And to see this kind of growth in this short of time is absolutely phenomenal. And I think that's just has to do with the fact that this is one, an amazing need that you guys have found to fill, and two, just you've found tons of people that are willing to set forth to take the time to help out. This is just mind-boggling how awesome it is.
For sure. And it's also a testament to the community that we are a part of, because I think I think it's fair to say that it started off as me and Madhushree, but right now we have a large team of admin staff and an even larger team of volunteers, and everyone really is here doing their bit and is excited to do their bit, and that really does say something.
That's awesome, guys. Super inspiring to hear how much success the program has had and how you guys have really helped it kind of blossom and grow. But I'm sure it was not easy at all. Can you guys talk to just some of the challenges involved in getting this program set up and running?
Yeah, I think one of the main challenges early on was kind of figuring out how to go from an Excel spreadsheet to a full-fledged like website platform. And it's, in hindsight, it's pretty amazing that we were able to make that turnaround happen within
a weekend.
Yeah, it was basically a weekend where we kind of pulled everything together, got the team together, and had everyone like ready to go in terms of assigning volunteers to their shifts. So that was one of the earlier challenges, just like learning how to navigate the technical side of things and the admin side of things. But once that had been up and going, it kind of flowed pretty fluidly, and we've kind of just changed as the situation requires.
I think just to add to what Madhushree was saying, that there were some like particular challenges with making this a little bit more established and streamlined than simply a Google spreadsheet. And part of that was thinking about some of those potential legal implications and working with some fantastic peers and mentors at Baylor who helped us sort of navigate that space as well and make sure that we were doing the best that we could to ensure that our program and our volunteers and our families were safe, and working through some of those thought exercises as we move forward.
Yeah, and sorry, tacking on to that as well. I think pretty early on, after we had launched our website on March 23rd, I believe, the stay-at-home order went out for Houston. And we were kind of, you know, frantically in talks with admin and mentors from different institutions to kind of figure out what that meant for our volunteers and our families that needed our volunteers. But everyone was like very supportive, very helpful, and kind of helped us navigate the legalese and behind the scenes to make sure that everyone could volunteer without getting in trouble, so to speak.
That's awesome. Can you guys talk a little bit about, so during this time, we've had kind of like constantly changing and updating kind of guidelines and recommendations that we should all follow as a community. Has that affected the volunteering at all? And if it has, how did you guys kind of adapt to those changes?
So I think the major changes that we've seen, at least from a Houston perspective, aside from the stay-at-home order, which was put into effect pretty early on, they've been more focused on like travel restrictions, and we kind of address that in the contracts that we provide for our volunteers, the informal contracts, as well as the forms that are on our website, in terms of like the specifications and guidelines as to where they can have traveled and what the quarantine time should be like if they're planning on volunteering after travel. So that's something that we kind of have to stay on top of with the news and the health department advisories as they come out. So that's, I guess, going off of that, also a lot of our teammates that have come onto the admin team since the beginning of this initiative have also brought remote volunteering opportunities with them, which has also been like another way of addressing this whole quarantine and social distancing situation.
So on that topic, you mentioned the fact that like there's an issue, like a concern about quarantining yourselves and how that might impact like returning to school. With y'all going back to clinics here in the next couple of weeks, how has that impacted you guys? Like, have you had to dial back some of your more like in-person style stuff, or like what's going on in that sense?
So we had spoken to, again, some admin and mentors at Baylor and some other institutions regarding how best to move forward with that, because we did have to keep in mind, one, the safety of our volunteers, the safety of our families, but also just making sure that we were being responsible with how we were moving forward, and also making sure that we don't abruptly take away any needed help from the people that we were serving, but we were making sure to give them enough time to make adjustments and sort of work their schedules out. Speaking with some admin at Baylor, we were able to sort of just understand that we should be careful with new assignments because of the time constraints, but also that if our volunteers, and we hope that, you know, according to the contracts and the forms, that they must be taking care of their social distancing and adhering to proper guidelines outside of their volunteership, that they should be okay with returning back to clinics on time while keeping both them and our families safe. However, it does, like, now is sort of crunch time. It's May 17th, and a brunt of our volunteer base is returning back to school and clinics in less than 10 days. And so sort of now is when we're really starting to work with our families and decide sort of how to move forward. One of the thoughts right now is perhaps reaching out to current families and asking them if they would be okay with having undergraduate students volunteer with them and help them with their needs, since right now our volunteer base is made almost entirely of graduate students. But if they do continue to have needs, we do want to make sure that we can do whatever we can to make, you know, to help them with what they need. And so right now it's about working with our current families and seeing sort of where they stand and what their needs are and how we can both keep them safe and meet those needs.
Sounds like a lot of really great communication and, you know, constantly adapting to change, bending like the reed.
Yeah.
Try.
Be the name of the game for everything these days.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one thing, what would you say was the most significant challenge of putting this all together?
Just one thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can go into other things, but I just wanted to see what is, like, if you were to think about it, like, what was the most significant thing? Because I know for starting the podcast, the biggest thing for us was, like, one, figuring out the right channels, and two, finding a way to make the model sustainable. Because I imagine the first thing they said to us was, like, what are you going to do when you get busy? Because that's the life of a medical student. And we were, Eric and I both were kind of like, duh, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, I think
I'm like, go ahead, Madhushree.
Okay. I think within like the first week or two, one of the main concerns that I kept having and that kind of honestly kept me up at night was, you know, are we doing right by our volunteers? Are we doing right by our families? Are we keeping everyone safe and making sure that we're not like contributing to the spread of this pandemic? And I think a lot of addressing those concerns has been kind of just going back and forth between healthcare faculty as well as healthcare departments in the area, and just figuring out like the safest, most responsible way to continue to provide our services, which really are essential in the sense that, you know, healthcare workers need family support when they're being called on in the hospitals to such an extent over the course of like these past 2 or 3 months. So I think that was one of my major like worries going into this, and kind of has been throughout, but it's been getting better, I guess.
What about you, Anchal?
I fully agree with Madhushree. I think that we have had, between her and I, many conversations about that one particular topic and making sure that we are being responsible as we move forward. I think that with any organization and any initiative, we also face some troubles with basic troubleshooting and how to make sure that we're able to have quick turnarounds and meet our families' needs in time. You know, healthcare workers' schedules are constantly changing. Medical students and other, you know, graduate students are busy. And so there have definitely been many times where we've had hours of turnaround between when we have a request and when we need people's requests filled. And so, and that really, I think that the support for that comes from having a fantastic admin team who have really just been on call and been excited to help with any of these situations that come up. And I think that's just sort of the sort of obstacles or stuff that we face on the regular. And we've just gotten better and better and more efficient at handling them as time has passed.
Awesome. Now on the flip side, what do you guys think would be the single best part of this experience for each of you?
The best part for me is getting to know and getting to work with such amazing peers across the medical field. Just so you and our listeners know that I have met Madhushree once in person for a grand total of maybe a half hour. I have never met anybody else on our admin team. And so these are all brand new friends that I have gotten to make over this really difficult time and gotten to work with in a really intimate space and build something that we can all really be proud of. And just extending that to our greater volunteer base, I know for a fact that the connections and the bonds that they build with their mentors as they work with them in their homes and with their peers as they work together to fill the needs of their mentors are definitely going to be quite prominent as they move forward in their education and their career. So I think that the relationships that we've been able to build as we sort of model this from ground up have been really quite special.
Yeah, and I think speaking as an MS3, so just for a little bit of context, when I was a first year medical student in the fall semester was actually when Harvey happened, and we experienced some shutdowns and like disruptions within our medical curriculum because of all the aftermath of the hurricane. So I think back then, thinking of like what the medical student's role was in a community response, it was very much me kind of just following leadership from our upperclassmen and our faculty at the time. And now as an MS3, it's been nice to see the growth of my class between like Harvey and now. And I think going off of that, it's just been like very amazing and phenomenal to see how all of my classmates have come together with such passion and such initiative to start new branches with COVID sitters. And they kind of really just take the lead and, you know, go off on their own. And it's just been a very humbling growth journey amongst peers.
That's awesome, Madhushree. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but kind of framing it with when we entered medical school during the time of Harvey, it was like right as we had started to now. You kind of hit the nail on the head. That's awesome. I'm glad you like said it in that way.
Yeah, and I'm sure you probably can attest to this in some degree, but it's been really nice to kind of see us ourselves grow as like medical professionals and kind of increase our capacity and giving back and contributing to the Houston community.
Yeah, I just want to echo and say that this is absolutely fantastic. And I am so glad that y'all set this up and gave so many people the opportunity to get out and serve. I think that's one of the beautiful things about this situation we're in, which is, mind you, very terrible. I don't know if there's anyone on the planet that maybe feels like they like this. I know I for sure don't, but it's awesome to be able to see that there's some good coming out of being stuck at home, having to deal with this awful pandemic and having literally everything sidelined. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to start this program and to help people out. And then also thank you for taking the time to come talk with us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, being part of our community, helping us spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any like one message or several messages even that you guys want to share with the Resonance podcast audience?
I guess just as like a final good note to end on, I just really want to say like a true heartfelt thank you to really everyone involved with COVID sitters, everyone from the admin team, all the volunteers who really are the backbone of our organization, and all of the healthcare workers who have willingly let us enter their homes and families and have established meaningful connections with us.
And all the faculty that helped us get started and move forward.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Guys, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.